Did you think about the, could you remember anything more about the early, the fight between, with the left when you first came out here, and all the business with all those managers and you weren't in, wanting Ella to come out and Peppercorn and, do you remember anything more about all of that?
I never looked at it. I didn't leave me the paper, so I couldn't refer to it. I don't know.
What was happening exactly with the?
They were in control in 1938, in 1937.
The communists.
The communists. They were control. What was his name? They called him. Small. I can't think of his name now.
And what was he?
He was secretary of the Communist Party here. Connolly. Slim Connolly.
Okay.
That is husband. See, they were practically in full control. They had a say. Was an awful situation. And Bloomberg, in order to Jack Bloomberg was anything but a communist. He's a Chicago cut originally. And this is a letter I got from Hilda advising me what he's doing. Jack tried to play around with him, but then Frank Rosenblum sent him strict instructions to get it out. That's all I remember. It's so many years ago.
No, but so Jack Bloomberg was the manager?
Jack Bloomberg was manager in 1936 out here, from 1934 to 1936, I think. Somewhere around there.
And then who came after him?
After him, there was temporary manager. There was Spitzer. Weinstein used to come out once in a while. There was the guy from Cleveland. Came across his letter, I'm sure. What's his name? My head is heavy. Oh.
What's your...
That's hard for me to remember names like that.
Well, once Alec came out.
Yeah.
Alec came out at the end of 1938. And then
no, not 38. Alec came out later than that, didn't he? Oh, yes. Alec came out later than 38.
See, it seems in looking through the papers that Ella came out at the end of 38, and then he left.
Yeah.
And then he was supposed to return. This was in 39, then, March, or April. But he says he won't return if Peppercorn's there.
No, that's mixed up. He never did return.
Well, why did he leave?
He left, you see. I had a hard time getting him out. Did you come across the letters where I asked Frank Rosen to send them out?
Yeah.
And Stanley sent them out here. Now, here's, this I remember quite well. He was let out here, and I was still in the office with him. And he was a very capable manager. We had meetings. I recall there was one meeting where I stayed with my niece, Hilda, and her gang was more or less away from the communists to get rid of the communists. Anyways, he helped to clean out the communists. He and Hilda, including myself, in a quiet way. Then he got mixed up with a girl in one of the shops. illumination. So the membership started. In the meantime, I was still there. I used to go with him. You know, because up to that time, I took care of the place. Whatever was possible. Then it came to a question. He needed help. So he turned to Hilda. Hilda told me this. He said, do you think Sarah will make a good business agent? Now he knew I was business agent in Chicago. It says, the point I'm making is, again, involving myself, nobody wanted me when they closed up Factory C in Hartchester Marks. Remember? He didn't want me. But that son of a bitch, Benny Burns, said, I'll take care of him. And yet, knowing that he's a capable person, I demanded from Frank that he sends him out here to be man. And he turns around, he pulls me back in this way. He asks Phil that he thinks I will make a good business. I didn't want to be good. If I wanted to be business, I would have stayed in Chicago the rest of my life. I had no desire to be a paid officer. I wanted to be with the people, with the workers. But
who was the business agents at the time?
Well, they got a lieutenant, Frank Panic. He's gone already. Died last year. I didn't go. They didn't notify me. But I said, there go I. But he got involved with a girl. And his wife was here. She's right to me too. He had a son and a daughter. And it got to be quite nasty, the affair. So Frank took him out.
Now, when he in all these letters, he keeps talking about, you know, how everyone was against him. And did the communists fight back after he got rid of him?
No.
Oh.
They were through. We made a clean sweep. The communists lost power. Up to 1939. When war broke out, and when they made a pact with Hitler, it's all a combination of sorts. I don't know whether you're communistically inclined or not. I don't know what your philosophy is on
that. I told you I'm an anarchist.
You're an anarchist. You may be a communist anarchist. I don't give a damn. See, I don't care. You're all right. So far, what can you do? Put me in jail.
Well, Sarah,
what?
Were the communists involved in the laundry strike, or were they already out by then?
They were out by then. Oh. When I came in, they were still there. But when Eric came, it was all out. See, Dr. Healy was there, but I don't remember who that was, a hunchback there, a communist. He was connected with a radio station somewhere. I don't remember his name even. But the Slim Connor was a big shot there. He used to come to the meeting, and Hilda and I, Hilda used to wipe the floor with him. And they'd wipe the floor with him. I would never in a meeting. I was very careful. Because one thing I didn't do what she did. I didn't agree with her way of organizing. Because it took so much to get an operator from Texas to join the union, or from Oklahoma. Now you come to an open meeting and start lambasting the officials, the leaders, what chance have you got? You know, my outlook, my way of organizing was entirely different from her way. On that score, we didn't follow through. She called, for instance, Posner at an open meeting. "You're a sheriff, you're nothing but a Chicago gangster," something that I... You see, between four eyes, with Frank Rosen being present, I was ready to kill the bastard. Because, but not in a written meeting. The worst I would say is something rotten in Denmark. That's as far as I went, you see.
Well, Sarah, in the fight to get rid of the communists, was that done in the open, too, or was that all behind the scenes?
No, that was in the open and behind the scenes. This was behind the scenes to prepare the ground, how to get rid of them. Sure, we had meetings.
Well, how did you finally get rid of them, then?
We asked them by the ballot. Stuff the ballot. How do you do it? I didn't. I never believed in that.
They had actual, they were actually in leadership positions.
Oh, yes, sure, top leadership. Even the president of the joint board at that time, see, Maurice Sussman, he told me, "Lazy, Sally, you're too old fashioned. You still believe, still dream of socialism." Like I told Hillman, I said, "I'm not a picture frame. Don't put me in and take me out." I didn't change very often. In fact, very slowly. You couldn't get me to change.
Well, Sarah, with the fight with the communists you were involved with was before...
I wasn't involved, to speak of. I was comparatively a newcomer here in those days, you see. I was in the office, all right. One cutter with the... "What the hell is she doing there, sitting on her big fat ass doing nothing?" And then later, and he was no communist, but he played around with him because there was a question of if you were with him, you had a job. If not, you didn't have no job.
Is that why you had trouble getting work when you first came out?
Yes, of course. I couldn't get a job. But then I was put in the office as an organizer. See, that's after we made a little bit cleaner.
Now, who is Bolanos?
Bolano. He was heading the laundry workers. That's what I'm telling you. He was the head and I did the work. He was a Spanish organizer, good-looking bastard.
Well, were a lot of them Spanish-speaking?
There were blacks and Mexicans, most, very few white.
Now, where did he come in? Did he come in for this strike, or was he here already?
He came in. He was hired by Frank. And he was fired by Frank. He committed suicide. He shot himself.
After he... Now... Sarah, you started to tell me a story once, and I never got the details, about the Red Squad and escaping into a saloon. What happened?
I was on picket. That was the Glickman's strike.
That was the laundry strike still?
No. Not the clothing.
Oh.
I think it was clothing. I was, the Red Squad. And you talk about Los Angeles being backward now, as far as union are concerned. Should have been here then. And talk about wiretapping. Everything was tapped. The people were afraid to go near the union office. Because only Charlie Hudnick, if you come across anywhere Not, I don't know. And Hilda's letters. He was the secretary, the courting secretary, I think. I was secretary treasurer. He was a Scottish Jew. He and I were the only ones that dared to go near the union office. But the strike, I wasn't supposed to go on the picket line because I was a leader. I was a representative of the union. See, I had to give individual credentials to the pickets to be allowed on the union. But I went anyway. So the goodies were after me. So instead of standing up, I always tried to avoid sensation. In Chicago, the same way, I was never beaten up by the police. I was never put in a patrol wagon. I didn't want this kind of publicity. I wanted to accomplish things. I never looked for publicity, sensational publicity. I didn't mind in the union. People liked me or disliked me. It's all right. But anyways, I ran in the corner. Had a beer instead.
Now, when was this clothing strike? This was after the laundry strike.
Yes. It was after, sure. This is where Peppercorn came out. See, and this was Glickman that framed Peppercorn up. Did you come across a letter from Peppercorn to me?
No.
They should be there.
Now, who was Peppercorn exactly?
He was a manager in Cleveland, but he was sent out here after Ellet came out. That was before Ellet came out.
Because Ellet refused to come to L.A. if Peppercorn was here. There was a letter.
What?
There was a letter saying, from Ellet, saying he wouldn't come out here if Peppercorn was here.
Yeah, well, that's what I say, that Peppercorn was out here before Ellet. There was nobody. Bloomberg was taken out, and then they had temporary, and there was Spitzer.
And now, who's Janis?
Janis is on the general executive board. He's manager of the Twin Cities. Minneapolis and Minnesota.
Now, was he here for the laundry strike?
He was signed in by Frank. And when I had the wardrobe ready to sign up, I couldn't get a hold of him because he was out playing tennis.
Oh, so that was the clothing strike, though, then?
No, this was the laundry strike. How can I remember these little details? I was strike here, strike there. General strike. The thing is, you see, what's outstanding in my mind is the strikes is one thing. Another thing is a woman at the turn of the 20th century clothing manufacturer on Los Angeles Street. A cutter is fired. A cutter that was a cutter in Chicago. I tell you what it is. One has to know something about it. After all, a woman, I'm not a cutter. And this was my fight with Frank. You say that the cutters are superior to the tailors. Why the hell where are they superior? I don't know the high rise or the low rise or the side seams and all that. A little common sense in me. And the employer refused to take him back. He spoiled their pants.
Now, you were still in the office at this time?
I was still in the office. There's nobody else then, so I took care of that. this was my need, you see, just to save a worker's livelihood. I wasn't interested in victims. A small grocery owner. You know the story with the with a guy in war, in the First World War, he was sent out to battle. He says, "You send me out there, I'll bring you back." So Sven Levinsky, or whatever his name was. So he brought back. They gave him a business for himself. My business was to save people's job. That was my main interest in being a union person. This Carter, he wouldn't take him back. He kept on telling whether the high rise, the low rise. I said, "Good. Supposing the pants cost you $5. Take him back, I'll give you the $5 in my pocket." I was getting $25 a week. I wanted the man to have the job. The result was the man was put back to work. This was my need. That's where my main interest was. The same thing when I worked with Shapshire in the business, and that's what I was interested in.
So what you're saying is that you're interested more in the individual workers' problem than in the strikes or the...
Well, I was interested in strike out because I was on picket line. I never missed a picket line in my life. But then I was put in a position of authority where I could have risen heights. I held every office other than the general executive board. I was on board of directors, I was on the joint board, I was on the executive, I was president of the local, I was business agent. All those things meant nothing to me. It was no feather in my cap. To me it was a feather in my cap if I knew this man's job or this woman's job to save. And to sum it all up, that 12 said amounts to nothing. Materially.
Well, sir, it was a place like this 20th century place.
Yeah.
Was this a mix shop? Was this a clothes shop?
A clothing shop.
No, but was it a clothes union shop or was
no,
it a
mix? We had no clothes shop. If you can't supply, even today, if you can't supply help, they have a right to get people from the open market.
Well, in the late 30s, when there was that was when the big open shop fight was going on in California,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Were these shops, there were no clothes shops at all in the clothing
industry? We have no clothes shop. If we have a clothes shop to this extent, if they call up the employment office, and if we can't supply them, they have a right to get them in the open market.
Well, but in the late 30s, was that true also?
All the way. To this day.
But were the union people unemployed while they were hiring non-union people?
Sir. No, oh. No. That's not allowed. And they are put on probation for 2 weeks. After two, they have a right to keep them for 2 weeks. Now, there's another thing that I applied myself, well, very few people in my position, in authority, would commit themselves to, or would bother themselves. In 2 weeks, if the employer didn't like him, not by me, Matthew. I can bring you people to testify to them. No, if I saw there was any hope, give him another chance. Give him another chance. Not only 2 weeks I up, then I became Moshe. You see what I mean? To protect a worker's breadbasket. And I didn't care whether he was a communist, an anarchist. It would have been the other way around if the case was. See, when I came out, and I went into a shop, it was controlled by communists. I couldn't work. And I pleaded with, I said, don't because whatever there was a clothing made, the union people existed, they knew of me or they knew me personally. I plead and don't show me any love, please. Let me get my bearings. No, as soon as I walked in, you know, this one fell on my neck and that one fell on my neck. They loved me. There were people that really loved me, you know. And I wasn't the son of a bitch. I protected them. As far as the strikes are concerned, sure, my goodness, I was on the picket line. I distributed leaflet. Without being thrown in the patrol wagon, I wasn't a martyr that way.
Well, Sarah, but during the laundry strike, there were some people. Who's someone named Ben? A group of people were arrested during the laundry strike?
Not that I remember.
You don't remember anyone being arrested?
No, I didn't. I wasn't that type of an organizer. I wasn't looking for those. I was trying to avoid all those things. I wasn't. What happened later on when I was already working in Lewis, I think, I think it was Rosenblum's. It was on strike. I was walking. I did hit a girl. I'd get enraged. I'd lose myself. That was the only time that I got a good laugh. Somebody else got the blame for it. They were arrested. I did the job, and somebody else got arrested. I remember. That's the only time I remember. Not that I didn't hit before. I did. Oh, yes. I used to get a hold of people. Give me a hand. No, I'd shake hands with you. The other one. Is that your right hand?
Yeah.
And this one. And he said, that's so. And you'd never go up. You'd never go back to work then. But I tried to avoid as much as I could. I tried to talk him out of it. The thing is, Alec got himself messed up. Is that what you're at? Where you're at now?
Well, I want, okay, because I have some questions about the laundry strike still.
The laundry strike was settled.
How was it settled?
It was settled amicable to both sides. I can't remember exactly.
Do you remember what the issues were involved with the laundry?
The issues was involved wages and conditions, the general rule of a union shop.
I mean, it had already been a union shop, though.
Oh, there was no union shop. They were never organized. These were unorganized.
So this was an organizing effort, the laundry strike.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay.
You see, the main people in the laundry were the drivers. They were like the cutters and the clothing workers. To get them to join was an awful job. And that was kind of a hard job. I don't want to say that I played around with them. I appealed to them. I tried very hard. I tried very hard. I got some of them to join. When I got them to join, I got some of them to beat up the others. I mean, I was violent. I was no angel. When I think of what they're doing in Forest, we would never have a union without violence.
Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. I hate violence. I hate bloodshed. But damn it, I don't know how in the hell you can do it otherwise. It's maybe now. Maybe people are more. I don't know. Maybe they're different today. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Huh?
I don't think so.
Still have to ever hit him in the head? I hope not. Yeah, it's a terrible thing. I can only say, I can only judge by myself. When I was called out, did you come across when I was called out to New York?
No.
Then it must be here. I was sitting in Frank called me out to go in the picket line, New York.
Oh, when you were Brookwood, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did come across that.
I was arguing against violence. And he was waiting for me. It was then there I met Sam Levine in the general office. And honest to God, I can still feel the way we embraced. I couldn't embrace my brother anymore. I mean, there was no, it wasn't a relationship, a sex relationship of any kind. It was just pure, honest to God, sister and brother love. And here I fought the hell out of him, against him for Frank Rosenblum.
After the laundry strike, you then went back to work in the shop? Shortly after the laundry strike?
I couldn't get a job. I'm out of work for some time. I go to work at Lord's. That was after Alex is here already. Alec. You see, he didn't think I was, and he couldn't get me a job. There was no job. I don't know what it was. There was no work. I could. And I got a job at Rhodes. I think it was $26 a week.
What were you doing?
But I was doing all the time. Special machine operator. Newcourt. And I hated Newcourt. I couldn't stand it. And the foreman says, what the hell are you doing? I ain't got enough work for you. Why don't you go in the toilet and smoke? I couldn't leave on the job. That's why I always said I couldn't. I would make a very poor foreman. I hated to see people laying down on the job. No.
So how long did you stay there?
How long did I stay there? Until they laid me out. There wasn't much work there. They couldn't keep me going. And then I don't recall. I don't remember.
Because why? It seems like right around 1941, you were out of work. You were out of work for ill health quite a bit too. In 41.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to Chicago.
Sarah, in the beginning of 1941, you wrote a letter to Genovese.
To who?
Genovese, I guess his name is, who was the secretary, saying that you were asked to take over the supervisory duties at Stanley Gilbert Clothing for 30 days. And
yeah.
Obviously, what was that all about?
Yeah. Who was that?
Well, the name of the outfit was the Stanley Gilbert Clothing Company.
Yeah.
And Posner was apparently here already.
Yeah.
And he was sending you there, and you wrote this letter to Genovese saying that you were told to do that.
Yeah.
And you would do it, but you didn't want it to jeopardize your position in the union.
Yeah.
Well, what was that all about?
Well, they were going out of business. You see, that's the method they used in the amalgamate to save the. So I went in there, but I didn't want to jeopardize my union.
Well, I didn't understand. What do you mean? What do they do?
Well, if I represent the company, I can't be a union person, you see.
How, you were supposed to represent them how? What do you mean?
Well, I take care of the company. I can't be a cheerleader. I can't be business agent. I can't be an officer of the union.
Oh, you were going as a foreman, you mean?
A supervisor. To supervise, to save the company. I didn't stay there.
Oh, I see.
The letter was never mailed. And I wrote one to Frank, and I didn't need all those things. I just did it to myself.
But it was clear that you didn't want to do that.
No. I was offered the job, you see. And I talked about it. Well, I made it clear that unless I get the clearance from the union, otherwise I wouldn't do it, you see. No, I wouldn't want them to have hold that over my head that I went to work as a representative of the company and then came to be a good union person.
Were they trying to hold? Was there a reason for them trying to do this to you? I mean, were they trying to frame you?
I don't know. They were trying to. See, the rule was, or the custom was, in the early days, when there was an active member, the company would solicit the service of a shop chairman, a business. I was offered all kinds of bait. And I was business agent in Chicago, and my God, what?
Well, they would solicit, in terms of getting a hold into the union?
Sure, to destroy the union, why not? I used to tell this Reutemann that you met. I said, Reutemann, you're going to try and offer you all, and remember, when you get out, they'll have no use for you. As soon as you stop being affiliated with the American, they have a lot of respect for the American. Once you're out, you're out. By the way, you come across a letter from the company when I'm defeated as chair lady.
Yeah, I want to get into that.
You've come across.
Yeah, I came across it. I want to work up to that. He said. So, did you ever go to this place or not? As the supervisor?
Yeah, I was there. I worked there, I think. I don't remember exactly. I think I worked there. I wanted to see what it is like, and try it out. Maybe I did go there. It's very big in my...
Now, Sarah, when did Posner come out? It seems to me that you started... 40?
I think 40.
Because it seems like you had trouble with him from the very beginning.
I didn't want him. See, I wrote to Frank that he's insulting my intelligence.
Well, you knew Posner from Chicago?
Yes. At every meeting that we come together to birthday, he said, you know, she was my business agent. And then and now I'm her manager. You know. I used to say, I'm not so proud that I was your business agent. I could have made a better job of it. I don't mean, but you see, all that you came across is nothing what I really felt, how I used control, and I was fighting with myself. I said to myself, what is it? I'm only hurting myself. I wanted to kill the guy. I mean, literally.
Now, that was later, though. That was the
point. Yeah, after I almost.
Apparently, even in 42, you were fighting with him.
I fought him before he came. He was another best. He just ruined this city. You know, but I had the man that we had. And he was no. The man that. Alec was the only one that could have made something. So he said he ruined it himself by getting messed up with a woman.
Well, Sarah, in the whole issue around Alec, there seemed to be... He was being blamed for some sort of bushelman strike. What was that all about? Do you recall?
In here?
Uh-huh.
They're trying to organize the bushelman ever since... They had a union, and nobody succeeded thus far.
Now, what does the bushelman do?
They repair when you buy a suit of clothing in the stores. They fix things, you see. They adjust things. If it's short, they make it longer, if it's longer, they get shorter, if it's...
So they were in the shop, they were in the retail store.
No, retail stores, yeah. Oh, there's some in the shop, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. And Bushelman, for instance, in the shops, they're all organized. But it's in the retail stores that they're not organized.
Because apparently Ellett pulled the Bushelman out on strike, it sounded like. And Frank was not very happy about that.
No, that had nothing to do with it. That had nothing to do with it. No. The whole thing was he got himself messed up with this, forgot her name even. And the hell of it was, I was getting $25 a week, and at the end of the week he'd ask me to lend him some money. And I tell you, I came across, and I said that I didn't want to be business agent. The first week I went back to work after being business agent, the Sam Levine didn't want me to go back to work. He didn't want me. He wanted me to stay on the up. I mean, $90, I got it on record. Then they started after me, see? Get me out. Get me disgusted. I came down to nothing. I couldn't make a living. And they wanted to take it revenge. You talk about how I survived, I don't know. It's just my determination.